And while you're turning, I want to ask you to pray also this morning for my mother. She's been very sick this week and just been in the hospital, went to the hospital, and she's back home now. But do pray for her, and I know God's able to touch her tonight or this morning. Amen. You know, when we get to heaven one of these days, we won't have any more prayer requests. Won't that be wonderful? There'll be no prayer requests in heaven. And no need to have that. And you know what? Faith is going to end in sight. And I look forward to that day. Jesus was to come this morning. It wouldn't hurt my feelings one bit because I'm ready to go. Amen. And I hope you're. I'm not saying I've done everything I want to do the way I wanted to do it, but I've not always been faithful, but God has been faithful. And I know whom I have believed in. And I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him. That's a long time ago. But I'm persuaded He's able to keep that which I committed unto Him against that day. Amen. Luke chapter 15, if you'll stand with us this morning. I want to read one verse of Scripture and pray this morning. And if you're here unsaved, I pray that you get born again this morning. Luke chapter 15, notice with me, verse number 31. The Bible says, "And He said unto him, Son, Thou art ever with me, and all that I have is Thine." Heavenly Father, I pray this morning in Jesus' name, God, that You would fill us and touch us afresh and anew. I realize this morning that without You, there is no preaching. God, I cannot do anything. You said without me, You can do nothing. And I need You this morning. I pray that You'll fill us with the power of God for the glory of God only. And I ask that You'd speak to every heart. No doubt these people here that needs to be saved, and Lord, there's people here that may be away from You and they need to come and get right this morning. But encourage those who are discouraged. Strengthen the weary this morning and glorify Your name, and we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. I want you to notice with me here the words that we read in this text here, and not only in verse 31, but also in verse number 32, that when we think about the words, now notice the Bible says, "And He said unto him." Everything that is going to be said in verse 31 and everything that is going to be said in verse number 32 is the Father's words. Amen. "And He said unto them." You know, I'm glad that we can hear from God. Amen. I'm glad that we may be living in the last days, and there may be a lot of things that we are without, but there's one thing we're not without, and that's this book this morning. Amen. A lot of things have changed in this world since yesterday. A lot of things have changed since you and I got out of the bed this morning, but the Word of God has never changed. Matthew chapter number 12 and verse 36, Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My Word shall not pass away." And then the Word of God said in Psalms 119 and verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven." I'm glad the Word of God has been settled in heaven. And for most of us this morning, I pray that it is settled in our hearts this morning. And so there is the Father's words, these words in this text. And then I would say that these last two verses here are the final words. Amen. Because this is the final words of this story and of this parable that we're given here in Luke chapter number 15. And so these are the final words here. And it reminds us that the Father is going to have the final word. Amen. I promise you the heathen will not have the final word. I promise you that those that deny God will not have the final word. They may curse His name and they may damn His Son, my friend, with their vocabulary. But there is coming a day when every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And in the end, friend, we not only win, but He will have the final word. Amen. And so there is the Father's word, and then there is the final words. These are final words, and these are the Father's words, but then these are favored words. I got to looking at verse 31 and verse number 32, and everything that the Father says in these two verses here, every word that the Father says is words of grace. They're positive words. Can you imagine that? I mean, this story about the son, even the story about the silver and the sheep, it doesn't start out too pleasant. And when you begin to read the story about the prodigal son, it's just a sad story, how that he would break his father's heart and then he would walk away and he would go out into the world and lose everything he's got. And then, of course, he comes home, but he comes home with nothing.
nothing. And we celebrate the homecoming of that boy, but only to turn to the elder son. And it's more sorrow that's upon the father's heart, as the elder son has nothing good, nothing kind to say about his brother, nor to his father. I mean, it is a lot of sadness throughout this story, but it doesn't end that way. For the father has not only the final word, but he has favored words. Can you imagine, after all this father has been through, after how this father has been treated by both of these boys, the younger son leaves bitter. He leaves angry. The elder son stays bitter. He stays angry. But the one thing we ought to know is that the father never got angry. The father never got bitter. The father never, those boys turned against him, but he never turned against them. Them boys walked out on him. One walked away from him, but the father, he stayed where he was at. And all you read about the father is just love and kindness and grace and compassion. When he should have gave judgment, he gave mercy. When he should have come down in wrath, he come down in love. You know why? Because God is a God of mercy. He is a God of grace. He is a God of love and compassion this morning. Now, I'm not excusing the wrath of God, but I'm telling you, listen, we say a lot about His wrath, but I don't want to forget His mercy. His mercies are new every morning. The Bible said the mercy of the Lord endureth forever. When everything else has vanished, when everything else is gone, the mercy of God will still endure. That's the only reason why you and I are still here this morning. It is the mere mercy of Almighty God. Hallelujah. I've never done anything to merit anything from God. Every grace, every ounce of goodness, everything that God has ever blessed us with in life has been His mercy this morning. But when we come to verse 31, this son here, I want to say this young man, this elder, he was the elder brother, but he's a young man. And what's sad about this young man is that after all this has been taking place and all of this is over with, the young man misses out on all these things. We have the scene, the story, the servants, the brother, the younger son. They're all on the inside. They're celebrating. As I mentioned, the elder son, he would not go in. He's on the outside looking in. And he misses out on everything. You know, it's a sad thing that he was raised right under the shadow of his father, but he missed it all. We understand what the younger son missed out on, because he went out to the world, didn't he? In that time that he was out in the world, I think you would agree with this, he missed out, didn't he? There was meals, there was fellowship, there was activities, there was things that went on at the father's house while he was out in the world that he missed out on. But the difference between him and this boy is that he did come back and he did get in, and he's no longer missing out. The tragedy of the text is that we have still a young man that never left. He never walked away. But he also never got it. He just is continuing to miss out. I want to preach this morning on this subject, on the young man who missed out. We sing the song, and I love the song that says, I missed out on a world of sorrow and a life of sin. And rightfully so, those that have been saved and those that's never went out to the world and those that have never wallowed in the pools of sin, you have a clean testimony. You can say that your lips never touched alcohol. You can say that your lips never touched a joint, that you never spent a night on a dance floor, that you never went to a party. And that's a great testimony. It's a better testimony than to say that you wallowed in sin. And thank God you missed out on the world. But I'll tell you, while you missed out on the world, I'll tell you something this morning. Don't make sure you don't miss out on what's going on in here. Because that reminds us there's been a lot of people go to hell from inside the walls of the church, not just on the outside. There's been a lot of people that was raised under the shadow of the cross, but they never knelt at the foot of the cross. And this young man is an example of a young man that was around it all. He saw it all. He was around it all. He never left it all, but he never got in on any of it. I think there'll be people stand before God one day. They heard the same old-fashioned preaching, toted the same King James Bible, saw the same good services, watched people walk the aisle, seen God move, seen the power of God, seen, they could tell you all about it. They've seen every bit of it. But they never got in. They missed out. Wouldn't that be awful? It'd be more terrible to go to hell from a church pew than it would from Red China or the Iron Curtain or the jungles of Africa. Never hearing the gospel, being deceived into some false religion or pagan worship, that would be terrible in and of itself, but to be given light, to be given truth, to be so close but yet so far away. That's where this young man is. You say, Brother Gravely, what did he miss out on? Well, look at verse number 31. This young man, he grew up. He was never gone, but he never got in on what happened. The first thing I see that he missed out on in verse number 31 is he missed out on the Father's passion. Look at verse 31. And he said unto him, you ought to circle that next word. It's the word son. Now, it's amazing, the Father, how he's treating this boy after this boy has treated him so disrespectfully. He has talked back to him, and you parent, young people, you listen to me, don't ever talk back to your parents. I don't care if your parents are wrong. You're not right talking back to them. God gave you your parents, and you're to love them, and you're to pray for them. And I'm going to tell you something, you may or may not know all that you may find out one day that when you talk back to them, you was dead wrong. And I tell you, it'd be better to be silent and not have to go back and say you're sorry for a lot of things you said that you were too young to ever know and understand. You just need to go ahead and obey your parents and honor them. I think that was said this week, but it bears repeating once again. But after this boy disrespectfully talks to him, you still see the Father's passion. What is the Father's passion? Well, His passion was for His boys. The Father's passion was never for the things. Listen, the younger son had a desire for the things of this world, and the older son had a desire for the things that was on the farm. But the Father never had a desire for any of those things. He loved them boys. And I want to tell you something. God is not interested in material things. God is interested in the souls of men. He loves you, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Hey, the heartbeat of God is the passion for souls of men this morning. God loves you. You see, the Father's passion was son. He called him a son. Now, you might be thinking, but he's a lost boy. How can a lost boy be a son? Well, you got to remember, Jesus is talking to scribes and Pharisees and publicans and sinners. Now, what all of them had in common was this. They were Jews. They were sons of Abraham. But they were not sons of God. They had to be saved. Proof of that is Luke chapter 16. That rich man that goes to hell, he prays to who? He doesn't pray to God. He prays to Father Abraham. Why? Because he doesn't know God. He's stooped in religion. He sees Father Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. It's very possible Lazarus was not even conscious or aware of what was taking place between the conversation of Abraham and that rich man, because Lazarus doesn't say anything. But he sees Father Abraham. He sees Lazarus in his bosom, and he cries out to Father Abraham, and he says, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus. He still sees him as a beggar. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham spoke unto him. He said unto him, son. He called him son. Son, remember. I'll tell you, if you go to hell, you'll remember it the rest of your eternity. Remember that thou in thy lifetime, you go to hell, you'll remember the life you lived on earth. Remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest the good things, and likewise Lazarus the evil things. But now, I'm going to tell you something. It's not today that makes a difference. It's eternity that makes a difference. This man was rich on earth, but he was poor in eternity. And he said, but now, remember now that he is comforted and thou art tormented. He lived a comfortable life on earth, a tormenting life in eternity. He's still tormented today, isn't he? But he called him a son. He was a son of Abraham, but never a son of God. He calls him a son here. He said, son. And listen, what is the father's passion? The father is all about relationship. The father, what is he doing? He's trying to restore these boys. He's all about relationship. Hey, God wants you to go to heaven, friend. He doesn't want you to go to hell. I don't believe God puts anybody in hell. I believe God's done everything he can to keep men out of hell. Amen? He don't elect some to go to heaven and some to go to hell. He's not interested that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. Amen. Who will have all men to be saved? I just believe all means all, don't you? I believe whosoever means whosoever will, let him come. Let him drink of the water of life freely. Amen. He that is athirst, let him come. Ho, ye that are thirsty, come ye to the waters. Amen. Now, I'm telling you, you can come without money. You can come without price. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Invitation after invitation, Jesus said, come unto me. Oh, you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Why? Because the Father is all about relationships. He wants you to get born again. I tell you, you must be born again. Acts 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Father's all about relationship. The Father's all about fellowship. He wants to have a celebration. That celebration isn't about the Son. That celebration is about the Father. What makes the Father happy is what makes you make everybody happy. He wants that boy to come here and celebrate because his brother was dead, but now he's alive again. He was lost and now he's found. Hey, the Father, he's all about fellowship. When we get to heaven, you know what we're going to do? We're going to fellowship with God. When the Lord created the Garden of Eden, he put man in there to dress that garden. He saw that it wasn't good for man to be alone because he's all about fellowship. So he created a woman from the rib of a man so that man would not be alone. And then after that, guess what? God came walking in that garden in the cool of the day. Why? Because God is all about relationship. He's all about fellowship. Hey, he had angelic beings. Listen, he had all of eternity. But God descended from his throne and came to where man was. Why? He didn't have to do that, but he wanted to fellowship with man. He wanted to walk with man. And when man sinned in the garden, God could have wiped Adam and Eve, just two people. He could have wiped them off the face of the earth and started all over again, but he didn't do that. He rescued man. He redeemed man, and he paid the ultimate price, and man has rejected God, and man has sinned against God, but God keeps extending a hand of mercy and a hand of grace. Why? Because the Father is all about fellowship. I'm going to tell you, if you're lost this morning, God could have let you easily went to hell in your sleep last night, but God loves you enough that he's extended mercy another day this side of eternity because he wants you to be saved. Hallelujah. He's all about fellowship. He's all about relationship. That's his passion. He's all about worship. There's a celebration going on. The Father's all about celebrating those who have been redeemed. You know, we come to church to worship, don't we? We worship in song. We worship in prayer. We worship in preaching. We worship in testifying. We worship around the Word of God. We worship. Why? Because that's what the Father wants. He wants us to worship. He is worthy. We don't worship the church. We don't worship the preacher. We don't worship each other. We don't worship any man. But we worship the only one that is worthy. The Bible said the Father, John 4:24, the Father seeketh such to worship him, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, I've not always been perfect. I've never been perfect. Let me back up and come again. I've never been perfect. And if worship depended on my perfection, I would never be able to worship God. I've never been worthy. If worship depended on my worthiness, I would never be able to worship God. But I worship one who is perfect. I worship one who is worthy, because worship is not about me and worship is not about you, but worship is all about him. Hallelujah. You want to kill a service dead or 4 o'clock in 1 second? You make a sermon, a song, or a testimony about yourself. Watch how flat it goes real quick. I don't care how you frame it. I don't care how you dress it up. I don't care what you do to it. You make it about yourself, and I'm going to tell you something, he will depart in a second. But on the flip side of that, if I can say something and you not see me, but you see him, if I can say something, you leave and don't even remember anything about me. But if you walk out them doors and just say, I don't care if you're talking about the singing part or the preaching part, none of it really matters. If you just walk out and say, man, God met with us this morning and it sure was good to worship him. David said, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Jesus said, and if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. I'm telling you, when we make much of Jesus and nothing of ourselves. I'm telling you, John said he must increase and I must decrease. If we'll get little and let him get large, he'll be pleased. Hallelujah. Probably nothing more sickening than when a preacher or a singer or a testifier tries to take the crown off of his head and put it on theirs. Oh, the Father's all about us. Why would he be all about us? Because we're nothing. But if he can be all about us who are nothing, surely we can be all about him who is something. I'm telling you, if we'll just make much of Jesus, if we'll just talk about Jesus, amen. If we'll just magnify the Lord, if we'll just exalt his name, if we'll just exalt, lift him up. I mean, he's higher than the highest. He's greater than the greatest. He's the captain of all captains. He's the king of all kings. You say, why are you saying that? Because I feel like it, amen. He's the Lord of all lords. I'm telling you, he's righteous. He's holy. He's true. He's good. He is mercy. He is grace. He is truth. I'm telling you, he's from everlasting to everlasting. He's from before the beginning of time. He'll be when time is no more. He's the light of God. He's the Lamb of God. He's the life of God. Jesus is the image of God. He's the breath of God. He's the living word of God. He's the Son of God. He's the only begotten of God. He is God. I'm talking about Jesus this morning. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's the door. He's the bright morning star. He's that which is, which was, and which is to come. He's the Almighty. He's God. He's Lord. He's Redeemer. He's Master. He's Owner. He just is. He's everything that I've ever needed him to be, and so much more. I'm just saying, if we worship him, it's all about him. Hallelujah. It's just all about him. Years ago, somebody asked my wife, they joined the church. I'm probably sitting here this morning. I can't even remember who did this. They said, how do we dress? And they were sincere. They said, how do we dress special for Easter? What's the big thing for Easter? She said, the resurrection. They said, we don't have to dress in, like, you know, wear the hats, the special Easter dress. She said, oh, that's great if you want to do that. She said, but if you don't do it, it's fine. Isn't that right? And I don't have a problem with people doing that, dressing up, buying Easter clothes. I don't have a problem with that. But I just thank God we're in a church where it's not about that. I don't care if you come in every Sunday and every one of you has got hats on except for the men. Amen. I don't care if you buy a special dress every Sunday. If you're buying it for the king, amen, Morbin, you got the money. Now, if you got the money, amen, I need to talk to you after church because we need to pay the building off, amen, or the parking lot, whatever it is. But, I mean, hey, what I'm saying is I don't care if you buy a dress every Sunday. I think you ought to look your best for the king, amen. But at the same time, I'm glad you didn't come to see me and I didn't come to see you this morning. But we just come to see him who is invisible, amen. I'm telling you, if there's one that'll overshadow us this morning, if there's one that'll pass by, I'm telling you, if God's going to drop the honey bucket of heaven somewheres, I want to be standing right under it, don't you? I'm telling you, I want to get in. I'm telling you, I want to get a hold of it because it is all about him this morning. Hallelujah. That boy missed that. As far as I know, he could not see how much the Lord, how much his Father loved him. Do you see this morning, sinner? God wouldn't let you go to hell if you want to go to heaven. For one Bible reason, because he loves you. If you asked Jesus to save you and you meant that with all your heart and you trusted Him to be your Savior, then you never have to do that again. Because the Lord loves you this morning. And then secondly, he missed out on the Father's presence. Look what he said. He said, "Thou, son, you're missing this, son. Thou art ever with me." That's a great statement, isn't it? I mean, what else do you need when you got Him? Who cares about a calf and a kid and a robe and a ring and a pair of shoes when you got Him? I'm telling you, when you got Him, you got everything, don't you? I'm telling you, the songwriter sure had it right when he said, "He's all I need." Amen. I'm telling you, He's all I need in the hard times, and He's all I need in the good times. He's all I need in the sunshine, but He's all I need in the shadows. He's all I need when I'm up, but He's all I need when I'm down. He's all I need when I know what's happening. He's all I need when I don't know what's happening. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ, He is all that I need. He is our shepherd. He is our guide. He is our leader. He is the one that goes before us. He is our refuge. He is our strength. He is our provider. He is our protector. Don't miss out this morning on His presence. Hallelujah. I feel His presence this morning. I felt His presence drinking a cup of coffee this morning with a Bible there. I just felt the... You can feel His presence. I don't run on my feelings because they change so much. But I'm glad I got some feelings. And I'm glad the God that we serve, I'm glad that we can feel His presence. Sometimes the presence of God will just overwhelm you, won't it? And then sometimes the presence of God will just overshadow you. You just know He's there. It's not that you're bubbling over. It's not that you're wanting to take a lap. But you just know that you're under His pavilion. That, Brother Laddie, you're under His wings. I don't have the answers. Don't know what's going to happen. But somehow, I just feel like He just overshadowed and said, "Son, you don't know what's going on. And you can't take care of this even if you did. But I just want you to know that I'm near you. That I'm over you. That I'm going. It's going to be okay." That somehow, He's just with you. David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," He said, "Thou art with me." I'm telling you, if He'll walk with you through that valley, He'll walk with you through every other valley. Amen. I don't believe He's going to leave us when we come to the end of the way. The Bible said the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and the Lord will give glory. He gives grace for this race. And when it comes time to die, when it comes down, when you come down to the banks of the river, thank God grace will lead you down to the banks. Mr. Grace will be on this side. I tell you, when you look across, Mr. Glory is going to be standing on the other side and He'll safely take you over. I'm saying this morning, don't miss His presence. Hallelujah. I've seen people sit in church when God was moving and they'd be on their cell phone, filing their fingernails, doing everything else. And you just wonder. You just wonder what's going on in their minds. I don't want to miss this presence. If I go to church and you go to church and it's and sometimes, you know, it's just that way. I get it. There's a thousand reasons why it can be that way. Sometimes He may want it that way. I don't know. But I just know when you go to church and it's just kind of like stale, it makes me want to go home and pray a little harder, don't you? It makes you want to come back and say, "Well, I can accept that for one service because maybe God was doing something I didn't see. I can accept it for two services." But once it starts becoming a pattern, I get nervous, don't you? Because I'm telling you, I don't want it to be that way. I don't want to be in a church that's just all driven by emotions, but I'll tell you something. I don't want to be in a church, and I don't think this church is that way. I think you agree with me. We don't want to be in a place where it's all driven by just emotions, amen, because there's no stability in that. But I don't want to be in a church, amen, where it's just stale and dry and dead. It's cracker, dry as cracker juice, and I'm telling you, can't get an amen or a holy grunt, or if somebody raises their hand, everything's so organized and planned out. You got to have structure. I believe in structure. I believe we got to have structure, amen. But I don't want a structure pressure God out of anything. Do you? I don't want chaos, but I don't want it to be so organized you can't breathe. Somebody say amen. I'm just simply saying this. You structure it the best you can, and if God tears the whole thing up, you just go with God. Amen. And if He don't tear it up, stay with it. It's what I say. But either way, let Him be Lord. Amen. Because He is Lord of the living and Lord of the dead this morning. And I'm glad, thank God, I can feel His presence. And it's real. Hallelujah. It's real this morning. God ever gets real to you. Amen. This boy, he missed it. Young people don't miss it. Hey, middle-aged folks don't miss it. If you're elderly and you've been in church all your life, but you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, you better not miss it. He missed out. He had all this safety, all this supply, all this shelter, all these days, all this security had been provided, and this service. What about the father had laid up fields for this boy to work in? He had all this to do. And yet, he missed the Father's presence. It can't all be about work. It's got to be about worship. And the Pharisees were all about work. They knew nothing about worship. Blinded. Israel was so blinded to Jesus Christ. You know, it is possible, listen to me this morning, it is possible to be in an old-fashioned church your whole life, under the sound of Bible preaching, and still go to hell. Because you have to make a choice, a conscious choice to be saved. Just because you're in a good place don't mean you're going to another good place. And I tell you this morning that this boy, son, you're ever with me. You've been in my presence all this time. This is a sad commentary on this boy. You have the Father, but you're more concerned about a goat and your friends and a calf than the Father. You know, it answers a big question for me. Why people can be in a good church and be around it. Have you seen people like they'll be in a good church almost all their life, and then one day they just leave, and none of it. I used to think to myself, how do you leave a place like this after being here all these years and never look back? I'll tell you how. Because it never meant nothing to you to begin with. If he, this is a, you know, I love this church, and I love everything about this church. But at the end of the day, it's not really about this church, is it? If he don't mean anything, then this means nothing. And that's the problem with a lot of people. This, jubilees, revivals, missions meeting, camps, trips, activities, services, all that God has done. Why did it never mean anything to them? Because he never meant nothing to them. They missed it. They missed His presence. They missed His passion. Then finally, they missed His purpose. What is the purpose of the Father? Look at it. All that I have is thine. He tells us the size of what He's going to give. All. Hey, the Father gave all, didn't He? Romans 5:8. But God commendeth His love. Means He displayed His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Father gave all that I have. Somebody said years ago that He would bankrupt heaven if He needed to. Friend, He did. He gave the only thing that He had one of, and that was His Son. He gave His only begotten Son. He gave, when you only got one of something, you see a man that has thousands of dollars, millions of dollars, and he gives $100, that's commendable. But he didn't give all. But a person that only has $1, and they give that $1, you say, well, that $1 isn't near as much. No, but that person gave all because they only had one. And the Father gave.
He gave all the size, the sacrifice of His gift. You see, the purpose, all that I have, it's yours. You can have it all, son, because He wasn't about the things anyway. Son, it's all yours anyway. It always was yours. The Father, hey, sinner, I want to tell you something. Salvation is yours. It's always been yours. He loved you before you was born. He loved you before you was ever created. You was before you ever came into this world. Calvary was not an accident. It was not an afterthought. I'm telling you, before God ever laid the mud seals of this world, before the serpent ever slithered in the garden, before Adam and Eve ever fell into sin, Jesus Christ was a lamb that was slain. Before the foundations of the world, He had already given all. Hallelujah. He had already gave all. It didn't take God by surprise. He knew the day that He breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life and He watched him become a living soul. God knew that He'd have to give all for the human race. And the Father's all about grace, isn't He? He could have wiped this boy out and said, "Boy, get out of my sight. You're a disgrace. Leave this farm." No, He's all about grace. He's still giving an invitation. Hey, in 2026, the Father is still giving an invitation. He's all about giving. "Son, all that I have, it's yours. Don't be so upset about a calf. Everything I got belongs to you." He's all about goodness. You know, it's possible to be around all of this and still miss out on it. I think that will be the saddest cases at the great white throne judgment. It's not those who never heard, and that's sad. But it's those who heard and never received. You know, a young person gave me a question this week. We had questions and answers. And one of the questions that they gave me, they asked this question. They said, "If people that live in countries that have never heard the gospel, never had the Bible translated in their language, never saw a missionary, if they don't get saved, here's the question. Do they really all go to hell?" And you know, the answer that I gave to that question was Romans 10:14. How shall they hear without a preacher? How are they going to hear if somebody don't go? You know, I thought about that. I remember years ago going through a little old town in Idaho. I was riding through this little town, and it was just a small. I remember it was less than 1,000 people or less. I can't remember the number. But the reason I know that number is because in those parishes out there, they have a sign, and it tells in those parishes there how many people live there. As I was going through that parish, there was less than 1,000 people, something like that, little town. And there was, in the middle of that town, there was this old white frame church. It looked like it had to be from the late 1800s. I said, "Man, that's a pretty old church." Weeds was growed up around it. Of course, it was dilapidated, but you could tell it was old. I said, "Well, that's a pretty church." And the missionary that I was with, he said, "That's not a church." I said, "It's not." I said, "What is it?" He said, "That's a Mormon ward from back when it was early days when it was started." He said, "This town has never had a gospel preacher in it." And we kept going down that road, and I kept thinking about in my mind that sign that had them numbers on it. And I wondered in my mind, was there people that was born in that little town? You know, a lot of people are born in a town and never go anywhere, do they? But then I thought, I wonder if there was anybody that was ever born in that little town that never went nowhere. They just lived in that little town their whole life, and they died. And they never heard the gospel. They was born, they lived, and they died. And they went to hell, never even knowing. And we're here this morning in church. Hey, I know. Hey, we're past 12 o'clock this morning. Just think about this, sinner. Don't you miss. God's let you sit in church, let you hear the gospel. You could probably tell it to me as good as I could tell it to you this morning. But did you ever get in? Are you in this morning? Are you saved? Are you born again? Don't miss out. That'd be terrible to go to hell from that little town I just talked about. But I think it would be worse, Anthony, to go to hell from right here. Amen. And have heard it over and over and over again. You know, that soul in hell doesn't even know why it's in hell. That's a thought, isn't it, this morning? It's a controversial thought, but I mean, that's the only thing I know. But I'll tell you, there's no controversy for you this morning if you've heard the gospel. If you go to hell, you'll think about it all eternity as we stand.